Yesterday was a very hot day, and I guess it must have been in Jerusalem at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It must have been desperately hot as Peter and John made their way with so many to go and pray. What a time to go and pray, 3 o'clock in a hot afternoon. What did they do with their siesta? Which is very important, actually, in a Middle Eastern climate. Anyway, just join us as we're walking into the temple, and we're particularly drawn to four men who are carrying their friend. I think they must have done this. I mean, this fellow was crippled from his birth, so all his life he'd not been able to walk. And so all his life, always being carried. I once just had a year on my back, and that was bad enough. But this man must have had 30, 40 years, we don't know. Every day, it says every day, they carried him on and laid him out on a mat. Same time, same place, by the temple. I love that word, don't you? The gate of the temple, the gate called Beautiful, the temple. I'm sure they had a nice cushion for him, because it can't have been all that comfortable lying on the ground. And of course, he had as very important, just some this to put your money in. Well, there he is, lying there, and. We're just about, his friends now are going to leave him. They'll come back after the service, take him back home, hopefully with some coins in there. And we're going to follow them in. Then we suddenly see two men standing together, walking together. Peter and John, yes, we know them because they actually worship here quite a lot as well. Yeah, they may have that, something's happened to them, that the name of Jesus actually has changed them, but they still go into the temple to worship and to pray. And so they're walking in, and then our friend here, the cripple, he sees them, and he calls out, have you any money? And they turn back, and they just stand, and they must have been standing just looking down at him. And he wouldn't look at people very much, because he'd be looking at his plate just to see people, and anyone put a coin in, he just thanked them. He wouldn't really look at them. And now these two men say to him, it says actually that they looked at him. And then Peter says, I think John says as well, look at us. Look at us. And then it says, and he paid, in our translation, the NIV, he paid attention. He really looked at them. What an exchange here of communication, of eyes. What an exchange of eyes. And then there's amazing words of, is it Peter, I think, says them, silver and gold have I none. Dear friend, we've got nothing to give you. I mean, don't you feel like that sometimes? Visiting somebody who needs your prayer, and you feel, I've not got any prayer to give them. I feel like that sometimes. Or you just feel, I've not got the energy for it, or whatever. And I've just got nothing to give of myself, which is a wonderful place to be, because then God has to give it to you. Silver and gold have I none, but what we have we give you. These are wonderful words, aren't they? No wonder Dave says it's one of his favourite stories. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up. The power of the name, we've just been singing it, haven't we? The power of the name of Jesus. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. And it's the name of Jesus the Saviour. That's what it means, doesn't it? He will come to save his people. So it's Jesus the Saviour. Christ, he's the Messiah. So he is the divine. So this is the divine God in our midst. And of Nazareth, you know, lowly, what good comes out of Nazareth? And here's lowly Nazareth, and they're calling him, this is total human being, Jesus. Jesus, the man God, the God, the man, the Saviour, all of this in this name. And I love the way after that eye contact and exchange, I think it's Peter, I think it's, you were probably John would have helped as well, because actually if you've never got up in your whole life, you need strong fishermen who are going to help you up. So they haul him up, and then he feels, Luke is a doctor, of course, that's why he's interested in eyes, because Luke as a doctor would often have looked in people's eyes. Luke as a doctor would have, all the feet he's looked at all his life, ankles, feet, and he says his ankles and feet were made strong, and up he was, and then Peter and John let go, and he was leaping and praising God. And I think I might have gone back home and said, look where I'm at, and isn't this wonderful? Where does he go? Straight into the temple to praise God. Just pause for a moment. Just let that scene come in, not just through your mind, into your heart. The power of the name of Jesus, the Saviour, the Messiah God, the fully human being of Nazareth. The power of that name, which is as real now as it was then, and as much with us now as it was then. Just pause. Be open. Lord, open our eyes and let us feel the touch of your hand to raise us up this morning, and to raise up those upon our hearts. In the name of Jesus, Christ, the God, the Messiah, the man of Nazareth. Amen. Peter and John knew themselves actually what it meant for someone to look at you straight and to touch you and to let them feel the flesh of your body upon them. And I love to see those two men, because in a sense they both knew they'd failed. They'd both betrayed Jesus. They'd run away. Peter had failed on another occasion, as we know, but they had that in common. It wasn't that they had in common some great mighty things that were the great apostles. They were just people who'd failed, but coming to worship. I guess like a lot of us this morning, don't think many of us would say, you know, I'm right up there, I'm on top, and you know, one or two of you may be, that's good, because we need you as well. But I think a lot of us feel actually quite weak, and taking quite some courage maybe to walk up to church. I don't know, it does sometimes take courage. And they're walking together, but of course they have wonderful things in common. You see, both of them have experienced the touch of Jesus. Peter sinking in the sea, the lake. Lord, save me, he's going down. The Lord puts out his hand, lifts him up. It's wonderful, isn't it? Peter knows what it is to have someone to lift you up. So when he's lifting up this man, he knows in his blood, this is what God's done to him, what Christ has done to him. Peter knows what it is the Lord to... I'm talking about John knows what it is. Let's keep to Peter. Remember when he had betrayed our Lord, and Luke again, the same writer writing Acts, and the Lord turns and looks at Peter. you remember that? It's amazing. No word said. The Lord turned. I find it quite difficult to finish the sentence. And looked at Peter. And Peter remembered. And he went out and wept bitterly. It was the eyes of Jesus that turned and looked at Peter. Peter here says to this man, look at us. The eyes of Jesus in the eyes of Peter. And John, so close to the eyes of Jesus, six times St. John says, it's towards the end of St. John's Gospel, the one who leant on his breast, the Last Supper, he leant on the breast of Jesus, hearing the heart of Jesus, lifting up his eyes to the Lord. John, who said, the Word made flesh and dwelt upon us. Here is John's flesh bringing healing to this man. They had a lot in common, those two men, as they went into the temple to pray. And of course we've got them both in this church. We've got Peter here. Sanctus Petrus, St. Peter. He looks glorious there, but that's how he's sort of become for us. We've lost something of his humanity, I think. But there he is clutching the Word of God. Clutching it to his heart. So we'll bring Peter down just to be with us today. Now you can't see this on that side, but you all know the figure of John on the right hand glass panel, looking up at Jesus, the crucified one. John, to come down and join us and be with us today. And you see, the wonderful thing about Peter and John, and it's said later, and I think Dave's going to be speaking on this next week as well, because these religious people who took umbrage really made life difficult because of what had happened, which is the tragedy of religion, isn't it? Someone said, nothing masks the face of God more than religion. Have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. And sorry, where was I at? It's awful, isn't it? Just Peter and John. Yeah, they come and joined us, that's right. I have to look at my notes, I've got them here. So sorry. Yes, we brought them down and they're here. I think I'll have to move on from this point. I'm so sorry. I haven't preached for so long. It's funny, isn't it? And I'm a bit out of practice of it, really. So just forgive me, if you will. Got it. Because these religious men said, these two people, Peter and John, they're uneducated and they're not trained. They're ignorant people. They've got nothing to them, no status. They're not in the hierarchy, they're not sat at the feet of Gamaliel or Shemuel or some of the other great rabbis, as even St. Paul had done. They're just ignorant, untrained men. What they meant really was they haven't been to a college and got it all up here. Because actually one was to write a gospel and they both were to write epistles, so they actually, you know, had enormous capacity, but they weren't actually in the hierarchy of power. And yet here they were, ordinary people. And it's what I love about it, you see, because we're just ordinary people, aren't we? So I'm glad we brought them down from these windows, because they're just ordinary people like us, whom God can use in the power of the name. And I can almost hear somebody saying, and I say it sometimes myself, if not more often than I like to admit, I don't really believe that I could ever do this to somebody who was crippled. I hardly dare sometimes to reach out if someone's got a pain. I have done this last week, just to pray for somebody with a pain in their wrist, and just to pray healing. And that, even that takes faith, you know. Because part of me actually believes I'm a bit like a secret atheist. And I say it all up here, and I like to believe it, but actually to do it. Jackie last week gave us the most moving sermon at the first time that Peter took communion, and talked about the shoebox-sized mind that we have. Like a shoebox, and where, you know, before the shoes are taken out, and we're somehow stuck in it, stuck in a tradition. God, she says, becomes smaller, which often that happens when we get older. Young children have a wonderful capacity just to believe God can work, you know, and wonderful capacity for God and believing that things can happen in life. And as we get older, somehow we get the shoebox mind. And lovely illustration you had, Jackie, of climbing Everest, and we stop at a camp and we're just satisfied to stay there. I don't really believe that I can be an agent of healing. The other thing, of course, is about saying, well, I'm just ordinary, or I'm just a lay person. Of course, this is what they were, Peter and John. I'm a layman, I'm a laywoman, and I'm actually not very able to do very big things. Leave that to Dave and to other people, but, you know, not for me. And but actually, that's a tragic thing, because it's you and I used just as we are in order to bring God's healing to people. The word is used, it's used in 1 Corinthians 14, if anyone wants to look it up or make a note of it, because there it's these people who come in from outside, they come into a church, and they are on the edge, and they come in and they say, God's really here, and they bow down, they worship God. It's amazing, end of 1 Corinthians 14. And the same word is used, those who came into church on the edge, Peter and John, they're on the edge, they're untrained, they're not the people with the power. And it's a good place to be, on the edge. The leader of the Methodist Church this morning said on a religious program that the new lady, Barbara Grayson, she says, I love just being on the edge, because that's where people are, and that's where Jesus is. Jesus was always on the edge, wasn't he? Listening to the Father's, Dave was sharing, listening and doing what the Father wanted. And this lovely phrase we had again last week's sermon of Jackie, from Thomas Keating, to live ordinary lives with extraordinary love. Isn't that wonderful? You and I living an ordinary life with extraordinary love. And just the importance of our eyes, just the importance of our eyes, and to know that somehow, our kids in our family, when we have a photo, they say, and I have my eyes half shut, which they say I do most of the time anyway, they say, Dad, just open your eyes, you know, and we take a photo. And it's awfully difficult. I think we're talking here not just about physical eyes, but the inner eyes of the heart. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This was St. Paul, wasn't it? To open our eyes, as we've been singing beautifully, to open our hearts, Lord, open the eyes of our hearts, and to be open to whatever it is. I love it. In Uganda, they have a saying, when you pass each other in the road, they just say, I see you. Isn't that beautiful? I see you. And that means I'm making contact with you, because that's what Peter and John were doing. You're making contact with people. I find it quite difficult when I give the peace to people in church. When you'd have to do it so quickly, you can't make... I much prefer to give peace to two or three people and just to make sure I'm making some contact with them. It's not easy. We don't look at anybody for very long, and it's not part of our culture. But sometimes just to know that, gosh, this person has seen me, we're making contact. Ridgeon Brooks gave a thought for the day the other day on the BBC Radio 4 in the morning and said, living in London, I tried for one day to everybody I met as I walked to work and walked back to say, or in the train and whatever, to say, good morning, good morning. And he said, I was amazed how many responded. Even with their smartphones and everything, they say, good morning, good morning. He said, people want contact, but we're all frightened of it because we hide behind our technology and all of that. But just making contact with people and through eyes and through the way that we look at people is so important. Jesus did this, didn't he? The way he looked at that young, arrogant young man, saying, what do I do to have eternal life? And just says, Jesus looking at him, looking, loved him. Looking at him, he loved him. The compassion. And this is one of the things I love about this icon, because it's the face of Jesus. It's a 6th century icon. And Dave's done amazingly. Look what he's done. Thank you so much, Dave. That's wonderful. Because, perhaps if we look at this one, because his eyes are looking at you. Now, the right hand eye, if I put it like this, I can do it. That right hand eye, actually, you see a tear coming down. It's an eye of sorrow. And then on the left hand side, it's joy. You've got sorrow and you've got joy. It's the face of Jesus looking at you, because icons, what they represent, they actually present. It's like to many icons, like the word, like to us, the word of God brings Jesus to us. To many who can't read, haven't got money to buy an icon, or you know, this is their Bible. This is the way in which Jesus comes alive to them. And Jesus looks, and on this one, and I did it at the end of the last service with some two or three people, and we looked at the eyes from one side, then went to the other, and the eyes follow you wherever you are. And someone was so helped by this one, she found great healing through it. She said, I found as I looked into these eyes, I couldn't pretend anymore. I just had to be me, and Jesus looking at me and loved me. And then you see the hand of blessing, a wonderful hand of blessing. Blessing us, blessing you this morning, blessing me. And the word of God on his heart, just held on his heart. And the light that comes out, that wonderful light around the Lord, divine light, the uncreated light of God, reaching out to us. Just pause a moment, if we may. Because one of the things they say about an icon, but it's the same with the word of God, is don't just look, but really see what is there. What is there for you this morning as our Lord looks at you? With such eyes of compassion and such love. And Jesus drawing us together, drawing us in ourselves together by just his touch. Jesus was always touching people, wasn't he? Very appropriately. Holding children, blessing them, pouring blessing. A leper comes to him. A leper Jesus dares to stretch out his hand and to touch him. The woman in the crowd, "Who touched me?" So often Jesus being touched, touching others. The Word made flesh. Sometimes we don't even do that, and it's not always right to do it, but just by being with somebody, you're there with the eyes of Jesus for them. Sometimes the best way actually is not even using any words. I once, when I had a chronic problem with my back, and went to a retreat led by a man called Dr. Martin Israel, wonderful healer, looked upon as a Christian healer. And I thought, I'll go and see this man and get everything sorted. And on the retreat, you know, you make a little note of someone you want to go and see at a time. So I went in, knocked on the door, sat with this wonderful man, Martin Israel, and for half an hour he said nothing. After half an hour he said, "I believe the Spirit is bringing healing to you." Isn't that wonderful? We don't need to say words. This is why it's so wonderful in these words, "In the name of Jesus," just the name of Jesus is sufficient. It's so powerful. Or just to utter the name Jesus within you for someone else, or indeed for oneself. And then the great question comes for us this morning: yes, but how? What do I have to give? What indeed? And the wonderful thing is, and it comes out here, that three times it's the name of Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 7, by faith in the name of Jesus. Twice it says that. It's faith in the name of Jesus. And then in chapter 4, verse 10, by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And then there's wonderful words. Yes, they say, how was he raised from the dead? He was raised from the dead by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. They say, by what power and name did you operate this? Because they knew that a name and a power go together. And then the answer comes. The power and the name of Jesus has done this. And then that wonderful chapter 4, verse 12. There is no name under heaven given among men. No name given except that of Jesus by which we may be saved. The name of Jesus. I wonder now, I'd just like to suggest that we just acknowledge that we are these agents of change. We are these ordinary people who can look into someone's eye or who can touch them and believe that God is at work, or allowing someone else to do that to us. Last Sunday, I came back to church for the first time for 3 months, and I walked up the path here, and I was really scared and frightened. I didn't know how I was going to manage, like I don't know quite this morning. And as I came in, it was the early service, got my book, and someone came in behind me. He said, "Oh, I've not seen you for a bit." So I said, "No, I've not been well." We just had a great hug, this lovely fellow and me. Wasn't that wonderful? He doesn't often come to church, actually. But we just hugged each other. And that was, for me, it was a touch. Now, it's not appropriate to hug everybody. That'd be very careful who you hug, probably. You know. But it's a wonderful thing when two men hug each other, or two women. There's something came into me and gave me strength that day. That's just one instance in the last week. I mean, I just wonder, is anybody here who's, you know, you've been a kind of, you haven't realised it, but you've been an agent of change for somebody the last couple of weeks? Maybe it could happen, so it happened on a telephone conversation, actually. Or it can happen as you're just unexpectedly talking with somebody in a shop, or you've got a recognition of somebody, you just feel we're really in contact. I mean, has anybody had this, like I've just described it for me this last Sunday? Anybody had anything like this the last couple of weeks? In just a small way, we're not into big things, we're just into small ways. And it might well have happened to you without you realizing, actually. Yes, thank you, Denise, yes. God is working, got the Lord working, and in McDonald's, you see, what a place. And it seems to me you had a natural contact already, and you're using a natural contact. So I think very often it's not that we've got to find other people out there. We all have networks, and we all have networks of healing. In our the family is a wonderful network for healing, but friends, or in your work, this is your work really, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, praise God. Lord, we just lift up that whole situation. Thank you that Denise was actually an agent there of healing. And silver and gold have I none. That's where you sat in McDonald's. But what I have, I give you. And the power of prayer, I mean, you're saying whether it makes a difference or not. What a difference. No, it does, exactly. Absolutely. Praise God for that. Is there just one other person who might? Eddie, bless you.
I think more of a smaller thing, but yeah. I had an appointment at the hospital a couple of weeks ago with a doctor, and I'd just finished listening to an audio book about how hard it is in the NHS, and so we finished the appointment, and I said, I just want to say thanks for this, but thank you for serving us by being a doctor. And he said, oh, you're the first person that said thank you to me today for your appointment. And I said, right, you know, that's really tough, but, you know, God bless you, thank you for doing it. And then he said, oh, that's the first time I've heard that in a while. I said again, what do you mean? And he said, but my work means that I can't go to church. I'm growing up in church, but I've not been for about 10 years.
Really?
That's the first time someone said bless you, so I appreciate that as well.
Oh.
Just
to say the word to bless you and thank you, huge things in our culture, isn't it? Huge things. Bless you, Eddie, that you have that ability. You know, in a doctor's surgery, we've had McDonald's, we've had a doctor's surgery, and there's one. Just one other person is there who'd just like to. Could you hear all right? Yes. Well, bless you. And just to be somebody who's willing to be there for someone else is such a powerful... It's a message saying, I'm with you, Jesus is with you. And then allowing that to happen. You didn't force anything. It just suddenly, after all that time... Lord, and would that have been in your own home or visiting her home? So we've had McDonald's, we've had someone else's home, and we've had a doctor's surgery, and God working. And I guess he's worked actually for every one of us in some way. We won't go into it now because we're just moving on to the final bit. But we just thank you, Lord, that you are at work. In St. John 5, it's wonderful words when the Lord says, and this is after he's healed a paralytic for 38 years, and he says, my Father is working and I am working. Lord, you work in doctor surgeries, you work in a home, you work in McDonald's, you're going to work this week wherever we are. Open our eyes, Lord, and sometimes just because we're there and we have no words to say, silver and gold have I none, but the name of Jesus. Thank you. And then I'll talk this over with Dave, and just for these last few minutes, we're going to just give the opportunity for the name of Jesus to become powerful among us. And this is where healing, in one sense, it's so simple and it's so profound. Because for Peter and John, for the early church, for Christians through the ages, the name of Jesus is such a powerful thing. The power of the name of Jesus, we've just been singing it. And I just want to suggest there may be two or three people, or even more, who've just come into church this morning, and you know there's something, maybe a wound or scar in your life. It's possible a relationship, it's possible someone's hurt you by something they've said, and you've been cut down. It could be anything, but it's just not quite healed. And it could be recent, it could be going back, actually. And what we're going to suggest is that if there were two or three, and the great thing about this, you don't have to say why you need healing. God knows. You don't have to go into long explanations. The Lord knows. But what we need sometimes is just for somebody, like with Les here, just to put a hand on him, or even on his head, just knowing what the Spirit's saying. And in fact, Les did ask this morning as we talked together, and I said, are you open to healing for a particular thing? And you were open, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
So let's just, James, we'll just come and lay a hand on him, would you? And and perhaps Hannah, would you just come and lay a hand just on his shoulder? And we just all pray for dear Les, and I'm going to pray that all of us, just the name Jesus, all you need to say, no great highfalutin prayers, just Jesus. Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your willingness. Liz, anyone else who just sitting where you are, we've got people around you, just to lay a hand and just let the power of Jesus, the name of Jesus, come as a healing to you. Whatever it is that needs healing. And sometimes we don't know, actually, but I just jolly well know I need something. So, is there anybody who might? Denny, thank you. Would you just lay a hand on her? That's wonderful. Just the name of Denny. We just say for Denny, we just pray quietly. Just the name Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Messiah, the God, Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, the human Christ. The name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Amen. And it's lovely, we're just having some hands laid on here. Let's just pray the name of Jesus. Just continue to, would you? That's lovely. Just pray the name of Jesus. Jesus. Power the name of Jesus. The Messiah of God. The man of Nazareth. I think what we might do now, Dave, is just to begin to play. And for others of us, just to be open, we're going to have the, it's be still and know, be still for the presence of the Lord. And if we have that, are you happy with this, Dave? And while we're singing it, will you just remain seated and just sense the presence, the power of the Lord? And you may just reach to somebody near you and just say, just lay a hand on me, just the name of Jesus on me.
Again, just once that healing touch, just put your hand up while this music's playing.
Yeah.
And just those around
us,
if they can just do exactly what we've been doing for others.
Yeah.
But this is a chance for all of us to receive whatever we want to receive. So just be alert, look out for hands up, and if there are hands up or you sense you just need to pray for someone, and then do.